Hey guys, Chris Appleton here with the Reach Podcast, and going to have an awesome episode today. Really looking forward to it, and we're just going to have a great time. I have hired a personal assistant slash co-host slash producer here for my podcast. Some of you may have already met her, and let's see what she might have to say today. Alexa, good morning.
Good morning. 3 years ago today, geoscientists discovered the oldest water on planet Earth, some 2 billion years old. Talk about a splash from the past.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that. Besides really random facts, you know, she can kind of help with the flow of the show. Alexa, play Let It Rain by Eddie James.
Let It Rain by Eddie James from Spotify.
Yeah. So anyway, that's going to be an interesting thing, hearing me argue it out with Alexa from time to time. But, you know, just today's episode is going to be awesome. I have an awesome guest that I'm going to be interviewing today. He is a Christian hip hop artist known as Palace. He has awesome songs. You can find them on Spotify. And he also has some awesome music videos he's done with Bizzle and Seven, these different guys. And he is a very talented and anointed artist. Also, we're going to talk about his music career, but we're also going to get into some of his posts. It's going to be an interesting conversation because he posts some pretty controversial things on Facebook that I really want to get into and just hear a different perspective. You know, a lot of people only have conversations that see things exactly the way they do, and they're scared to have conversations with people that might have a different perspective. I, on the other hand, with this podcast, want to have those type of conversations with people that are, you know, maybe see things a little bit different and, you know, just be open to have those. Maybe it can even turn into an uncomfortable conversation. I don't think it will. He's an awesome man of God, but we are going to see what happens. And you don't want to miss out on this, so it's going to be great. We're going to get right into the devotional, and then we are going to be interviewing Palace, and it's going to be a great show. Let it rain. We are going to get right into the devotional, and we are doing a devotional that you can find on the Bible app, and this is called Imperfect Christmas, Perfect Gift. Now, I recommend that you follow along in your Bible app, the YouVersion Bible app, and so you can read along and go with it. It's an awesome app. Gives you the different versions of the Bible, gives you you know, alerts and notifications, and keeps you accountable to stay in the Word. And it's right there on your phone, and it's a blessing. So this is called Imperfect Christmas, Perfect Gift. And this is day two. The title is Abraham, the Father of Faith. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That's Galatians 3, verse 29. As we saw yesterday, God created a perfect universe. This is written by Danny Saavedra. So we can say, as we saw last week, because we read this last week. As we saw last week, God created a perfect universe. Then things went terribly wrong as Adam and Eve rebelled against God and brought sin and death into the world. But this was not the end of the story. God had a plan. You see, with the coming of death and our marvelous and merciful God, With the coming of death, our marvelous and merciful God also gave the promise of life. In Genesis 3, God explained how it would all go down. Women would experience pain and labor in order to bring new life into the world, but new life would come. And that new life would one day produce a seed who would crush the head of the wicked serpent. That's Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Regardless, this reveal, John Gill wrote, the Messiah, the eminent seed of the woman, would bruise the head of the old serpent, the devil, that is, destroy him, break and confound all his schemes and ruin all his works, crush his whole empire, strip him of his authority and sovereignty, and particularly of his power over death and his tyranny over the bodies and souls of men, all which was done by Christ when he became incarnate. Today we'll explore the imperfect man of faith through whom God chose to enact his perfect plan of salvation and bring about the promised seed and Savior. His name was Abraham. Right about now, you may be asking yourself, why did God choose Abraham? What was so special about him? We're first introduced to Abraham, a descendant of Shem, in Genesis 12. Here, God instructs him to pack up, leave his home, and all his comforts behind, to uproot his family and travel to a foreign land. Interestingly, Abraham wasn't even told which land. God told him to go to the land that I will show you in Genesis 12:1. But along with this colossal call came a promise. I will make you into a great nation. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Genesis 12:2-3. And it's in this moment where we see the reason God chose him. It wasn't because Abraham was special, talented, or righteous. It was he was flawed. He made mistakes, and he was far from perfect. But God chose him anyway. Why? Because he knew Abraham would obey. One Bible commentator wrote, as soon as he understood what God was saying, he started packing. It was instant obedience. It may have taken several days or several weeks or months to make final preparation for the trip, but in his mind, he was already on the way. From then on, everything he did revolved around obeying God's call. James 2:23. James 2:23 tells us Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. At 75 years old, Abraham answered God's call and headed out with his family. The interesting thing about God's promise of making him a great nation and blessing the whole world through Abraham's offspring was that Abraham and his wife Sarah had no offspring. How would God make a great nation out of a childless old man and his wife? Well, Abraham wondered the same thing. So God revealed his plan and told Abraham that he would have a child and that eventually his descendants would outnumber the stars. And guess what? Despite the odds, despite the logic and circumstances, Abraham believed God. The story of Abraham teaches us our role in God's plan of salvation. It's not work, but faith and worship. In Genesis 12, Abraham received the promise by faith, and immediately after that, he built an altar, a place of worship. Why? Because he understood very clearly that neither his right standing with God nor the promises God made him were dependent on who he was or what he did, but it was dependent on God's faithfulness alone. As you go through your day today, remember, there is power in worshiping God for all he is and the strength he gives you. As we see with Abraham, it's not about what we can do, but what he has done. So believe in his promises and worship him, because you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3, 26 through 27 and verse 29. Now I'm going to go through and read these scriptures. Galatians 3, 29. If you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Genesis 3, 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Wow. James chapter 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Well, guys, that's our devotional. And now we are going to get right into the next segment of the podcast. And he is, I believe, in Louisiana. So we're gonna call him, and we're gonna have a great conversation. I am super excited about it. So buckle your seatbelts for this great interview. Alexa, play Swish by Palace.
Swish by Palace from Spotify.
Shoot us. Swish, Pele, just in case you didn't know, I'm still doing Jesus. Ain't no compromise of me. Shoot us. We pull up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wake up in the morning, I get on my knees and say thanks to the Lord for this day I'm feeling. They investigate cause I be out here killing. Yeah, I turn it up all the way to the ceiling. Watch the ceiling fan. In the mind of session, I hope it hit your head. I don't mind investing. He showed me the bread. That's communion talk. We got wine and kegs. She got all the legs. If she won't catch my eye, I stay in the word. That makes an honest guy. I pray you honor y'all. The great I am. Take a lot of grace and mercy for the wretch I am. Talk is real cheap until you hire a lawyer. I consult with my father. Yeah, the kingdom is different. I got business to tend to. That's an entrepreneur. I can't talk to some church mothers because they be some cougar. I'm a servant of God. In Arab, that's called a doula. You can have my PayPal on it. You sow with the moolah. I got plenty of shooters. I'm just playing, that ain't true. Ain't one ounce of me gangster. That's the God honest truth. Yeah. Swish all of my wrist. Swish all of my wrist. Got that swish all of my wrist. Until the network on, test me, yeah. Swish all of my wrist. Swish all of my wrist. Got that swish all of my wrist. Until the network on, test me, yeah.
Alexa, stop the music. In order to hear the remaining of that song, you got to go to Spotify, hear it yourself. Make sure to check it out on YouTube. Next, we're going to get into our interview with this premier artist, Palace. All right, so we have a special guest today, Palace. a Christian hip-hop artist, and we're going to get right into the conversation here. It's exciting. I know that you guys have heard intro and everything else, so we're just going to get right into it. Thanks for joining us today, Palace.
Oh, man, it's a pleasure, man. Blessed to be here, man.
All right. Well, first of all, I just want to say congrats on the blessings coming your way. I mean, I follow you on Facebook. I see a lot of good things that are happening. I saw you have 44,000 streams, 10,000 listeners, and 67 countries on Spotify. That's pretty awesome.
Man, it's definitely favor, man. I mean, I know you're not asking me about that right now, but I would love to go into detail about how much favor that is.
Yeah, no, I see the Lord has blessed you. I mean, I saw you a new home and all the blessings that are coming your way. It's exciting to see that, you know, that God is doing that for you. And I see on your post, you always give him the glory. So that's
indeed.
That's pretty awesome. Now, some of my listeners have already heard about you. They've heard the music, all of that. Some have not. Please tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, me as an artist, I started Christian rap in 2014.
Yeah.
And I had already been preaching the gospel all the way back to 2007. So the funny thing is, whenever I fully gave my life to Christ, I actually thought that all rap was, I guess, from the devil. I didn't think that you could be a Christian rapper. I didn't think that was possible.
Oh, wow.
But you know, as I began my walk with the Lord in 2007, 2008, I turned it on 100, you know, like I really began to take God really serious. 2009, 2010, I was praying in 2014, and I would go to the church every morning, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I would go to the church around 4, 5, 6 o'clock every morning, and I would begin to pray. And it was a habit that I picked up. It was a discipline that I picked up, and I began to see the fruit from it. Man, my life just began to change and everything. And so one morning after prayer, man, I started writing after prayer. Sometimes I would write different things in my prayer time, but this time I started writing, and they were rhymes, man. And I was just like, yo, where's this coming from, you know?
Wow.
And at the time, I went to a brother of mine, and I was like, hey, man, every time I come out of prayer, man, I'm writing, and it rhymes. And he was just like, oh, really? I was like, yeah. I was like, what is that, you know? And I read some of the stuff to him. He was like, man, that's awesome. It's edifying. He's like, he said, man, I guess, you know, he said, David was a poet. He was a psalmist. He said, maybe, I don't know. Maybe he just, you know. And so we really didn't know what to do with it.
Wow.
And I picked up my laptop that same year, and I started messing around on GarageBand. I had like a little MacBook Pro, and I started making a little beat. And after I made the beat, you know, I would pick up what I wrote, and I would kind of rap it to it.
Mm.
And, you know, I recorded it, and I let my wife hear it. She's not a huge rap fan at all, so she was just like, you know, it's you know, it's whatever, you know. And I was like, yeah. And I let my brother hear it. And when my brother heard it, I thank God for my brother, because when my brother heard it, he was just like, man, this is really good. And I was like, really? I was like, well, man, you don't think this is like, do you think this is like godly, or you think Christians should be doing this? And he was just like, look, man, there's a lot of Christians that rap. And at that time, Chris, I didn't know anything about Christian. I didn't hear about anybody. I didn't know Christian rappers existed. And so he actually gave me some music from S.O. the Kid and Lecrae.
Wow.
And when I heard Lecrae's album, it was the Rebel album that I heard.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, oh, man, this is, you know, this content is pretty solid. I mean, he's talking about Christ and his life, his walk with Christ. I was like, man, I've never heard anything like this before. And then I listened to S.O. and I was just like, man, I enjoyed that even more. I was like, man, this guy's really doing it for God, and it sounds dope. It's not corny.
Right.
And I was just like, oh, this is cool. So people do this. So that's when I start digging in and just discovering rappers. And that's after I heard S.O. and Lecrae, I heard Seven.
Oh, yeah.
And when I heard Seven, something, I don't know, something in me was just like, okay, I can do this. When I heard Seven and I could hear his heart for ministry through his music, I was like, you know what? I can use this as a tool to reach people and preach the gospel. And I was like, and I never turned back after that, man. My brother started being the one that would critique my music, I guess. I would make a song and I would let him hear it. And he was like, hey, man, you know, your vocals are too loud, or the music is too loud, or man, I don't like the beat. You know, he would just be my critiquer.
Yeah.
And after a while, it got to a place where when I would play him a song, he would say, man, this stuff sounds like it, man, because I don't even know how to critique it anymore. He was like, man, I'm blown away by it, and it's just edifying, and I just want to listen to it over and over again.
Yeah.
And long story short, man, that's when, man, it's man, Chris, I don't think we got time on your podcast, man. I really don't. But that's when, long story short, I reached out to a lot of guys to try to collab and do some features. Seven was one of the guys I reached out to. He ended up calling me back and chopping it up with me and asking me to come out to Sacramento to shoot a video with him for a song that I did called Simple World. Mm-hmm. And from there, it's just history, man. From there, it's just, you know, I've been blessing the Lord with my talent ever since.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, I know that I know some artists, some people that are, you know, talented, and they feel like maybe they want to go into that same arena. What advice would you give someone that wants to be an artist and pursue that? You almost kind of answered that, because it came out of prayer. It came out of those 4 or 5 in the morning prayer time. But what would you tell someone who wants to be an artist and pursue that?
Okay. I would tell them to not to try to pursue being known. Mm. That's the main thing. How can I say this? Everything that has happened up to this point with me, with this Christian rap, everything. And I'm going to use this term, and this may be something some of your viewers may be, some of them, this may be too much for some. This may not be enough for others, but this is the best way I can articulate it. Everything to where I am now, it came by suggestion of the Spirit of God.
Mm.
Nothing just happened out of nowhere. It, like you said earlier, it all came from prayer, but in prayer, I would receive things from the Lord.
Yeah.
It's like when I came out of prayer, I was writing. I mean, that really came. That wasn't something that I sat down and said, look, I'm about to start writing these rhymes. It didn't happen like that.
Mm.
Nor did I call people to collab with them in hopes to win them over to think that I'm talented so they could sign me to their record label either.
Mm.
Like, I genuinely wanted the gift that God was forming in me at the time. I wanted people to hear it because I knew it wasn't for me.
Right.
And even for God to change my heart, because I thought it was bad. I thought Christian rap was bad. I thought it was from the devil. So yeah. For God to start out of my prayer time giving me poems that rhymed, I was just like, yo, he's really challenging my thinking.
Yeah.
He's really pulling me out of my comfort zone. I mean, you know, because I didn't think that a real Christian could do that. I thought that people that rap that were Christian, they were deceived. I really believed it. But wow. So if God began to shape me and change my opinion and to really shape me and mold me in the way he wanted me, it just happened. And so even the connections the people that I know now from Christian rap, it just happened. I didn't chase these people down and say, hey, man, would you listen to my music? Hey, man, none of that. I just continued to do what God gave me. I continued to work. I continue to do music. Another thing too, just because you're Christian and you're saying you're saying the right things on your music doesn't mean that it needs to be music that goes to the world. And that's something that I find with a lot of young artists here and people that are around me. Listen, when I was making music, I was okay with critiques. I'm still okay with critiques now. Just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean that I need to, and doing music doesn't mean that I need to be doing it.
Right.
You know, and for my brother, the first couple of years I was doing music, I mean, he would straight up tell me, he would listen to a record and he would say, no, I don't like it. No.
Hmm.
I didn't argue with him. I didn't say, God told me to make this song. These words come from God. I'm trying to minister to lost souls. None of that. He was like, look, because the honest truth is, Chris, people that say they do Christian rap music, well, I do it just for the lost souls. Well, good. You don't need to rap then necessarily, because you can preach without music.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can go right now to the street corner and preach the gospel with no music.
Truth.
So for people that say, I do this Christian rap because I'm trying to win souls, you don't have to do the music to win souls. The music can win souls, but it's also, it's something that you want people to enjoy.
There you go. I like that.
So, you need to pray about that. Maybe God placed those people around you to show you that that's not something that you need to be doing.
Can you repeat that?
So, but there. Oh man, which part? I'm wiping my son's nose.
What part, bro? What you just said.
Ah.
It's fine. Keep going. I didn't mean to break. I didn't mean to break the flow. Cool.
No, you're good, man. It's just I think the last point I was trying to make. I don't know exactly what I said, but the last point I was trying to make was basically we make music not just for ministry. We make music for people to enjoy.
There you go. Yeah.
We want it to sound good. You know, just because you say you're a Christian and you rap doesn't mean that your song needs to be on the radio.
Mm.
And we should be okay. Hold on, Sam. What are you looking for? Okay, come on. We should be okay with that. We should be okay with having our brothers and sisters in Christ critique our music. And if it's not good enough, we need to just say, okay, that's good. And keep working. If you're a young artist, just keep working.
Yeah.
And if God has you to be in that area of ministry, you'll be there. He'll grow you. He'll mature you. And he'll make your music excellent.
I like that. That answers a lot. I mean, I had a list of questions here and you answered most of them. So,
oh, cool.
You know, that's good. One of them was, what do you wish you would have known when you started out? I think to answer that, just from what you said, just knowing that Christian hip hop is not from the devil and that it can be something that people enjoy as well as it ministers to. So I think that's something that,
right.
But
there's something else too, Chris, something that I wish I would have known before I started.
Yeah.
I wish I would have known that there's a huge difference. I knew this, but I didn't really know. There's a huge difference between ministry and Christian rap business.
Mm. Okay.
Huge difference between a lot of Christian artists, a lot of people go into this thinking that it's all about ministry. When you get to a certain point and you start talking about business and contracts, man, it's really business.
Wow. That's
it's really business.
Now, that's interesting.
Now you have some artists out there who actually do put ministry over business. But you have some artists out there who do not.
Mm.
And so I went in thinking that because it was about Jesus, everything was about ministry. Everything was about love. Everything was about brotherhood. I came in thinking that, but I found out that it's not that way with everybody.
Wow.
Some people are far more invested into the business side than the ministry side. Some people are more concerned about how many shirts they sell or how many albums they sell. Because, and you know what? Some of these guys started out on the right path, Chris. It's just that when they started making money, they started depending on the money to sustain their family. So now it's about making a check because they got to keep their lifestyle going.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
No, I hear you.
Yeah.
So that's
one thing I wish I would have known before. I wish I'd have known that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's an interesting thought. Now, I could spend, you know, it sounds like we could spend a long time chopping it up about music, but I know you don't have all day to do this. So I'm going to move into the next kind of thing that I wanted to get into. And
okay,
you told me to pick two of your Facebook posts that you want to talk about. Now, let me just premise this to say that, you know, I'm not sure how many of my listeners are following you on Facebook, but you do say some to some, it might be controversial. To others, they might agree. Now, I'll just say this, and I mean this with all respect. Not every post you put out, I agree with. And that's good. It's going to make for a good conversation because, you know, a lot of people are nervous to have a conversation with someone that they don't agree with all the time. I'm not. I want to hear your perspective on these. And so we can, you know, just discuss it and we don't have to agree, but I think it's going to make for a good conversation. Okay. So the first post here, it says this, if a pastor or bishop is not okay with someone in the church calling them by his first name, that pastor or bishop needs deliverance. Okay. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I hear you loud and clear.
I just want to open it up to hear what you mean by this before I say what
I think. Let me ask you a question, Chris, because you've already read the statement.
Yeah.
And so to me it's very clear. But let me ask you a question. Are you a pastor?
Yeah, I'm a minister of my church. I've pastored churches.
You say you pastor churches, plural?
Yeah, I've pioneered church.
So you say, okay, you pioneered church. Mean you plant churches?
I have before and I will again, yes.
Okay, good. Now, the people that go to the church that you're at now, you're the pastor there, correct?
I'm not the senior pastor. I'm just a minister that helps in the church.
Okay. So are you one of the pastors or do they call you something else there?
Some people call me Pastor Chris. Some people call me Chris. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
The titles I don't get caught up in the titles.
Okay. So look, you're a perfect example of what I mean. Okay. You would be someone who doesn't need deliverance. But I have talked to pastors in the past, Chris. I've gone to multiple churches. Mm-hmm. My father's a pastor. My uncles are pastors. My friends are pastors. So I've talked to multiple pastors, bishops, apostles, whatever they call themselves. And there are some I've been in the presence of that when someone called them by their first name,
yeah,
they actually stopped them and corrected them.
Yeah.
And said, oh, wait, no, man, don't. I'm not your brother. I'm your pastor.
Mm.
And so with that being said, I know for a fact, regardless if anybody agrees with me or not, a lot of stuff I share on Facebook, I don't share it for people to agree. I share it because I know most people won't agree.
Right.
Because the truth is, Chris, I didn't agree with a lot of it 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But as I continue to grow in Christ and my prayer time increased and my study in the word increased and my relationship with Christ increased, I begin to see certain things, and an attitude like that is not an attitude of love. When I stop my brother in Christ from calling me a brother and correct him and say, no, I'm not your brother, I'm your pastor. Okay, I'm the one that needs deliverance. Because right now I'm thinking more highly than myself than I ought to.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where that comes from. It has nothing to do with respect. It has nothing to do with respecting an office or any of that stuff, because honor and respect doesn't even come from your mouth. It comes from your actions.
True.
My dad, every time I walk up to my birth father, you know, I don't call him Mr. Every time I address him. But that doesn't mean I don't honor him.
What do you call him?
My honor and my reverence comes from the way I treat him.
Right.
If I walk into my dad and say, yo, what up, old man? And he gives me a hug and daps me up.
Right.
People say, don't call your dad old man. That's not his name. He's your father. Look, I got a relationship with my dad.
Right.
My dad's okay with me calling him old man. He's okay with that because he knows that my honor and my respect doesn't come from what I call him. It comes from how I treat him. I'm not walking up to him cursing him out.
Okay.
I'm not calling him a derelict dad, you know? And that's the same thing I see with pastors that do that.
Yeah.
When a brother in Christ calls a pastor brother, it's okay. Okay. Now, if he walks up to the pastor, if he walks up to the pastor and disrespects him, you know, said, you no good, you know, such and such, that's a different story.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is, no matter what your office is, if I'm in Christ, you are my brother.
Yeah.
The scripture says that Jesus is our elder brother. So, my God, you're not above that.
Right. So, that's to say, okay, so if someone, you said your dad was a pastor, right?
Yes.
So, if you're the type of ministry I'm part of, okay, we have men's homes and women's homes. We take people in off the streets. They took me in off the streets. And
that's awesome.
When I came in, I had no understanding about ministry, about God, about anything. So there was no way for me to know how to respect anything that was going on in there. And a lot of the people that we deal with, you know, they come in the same way. They just don't know. It's not that they don't have respect. They just don't know. And a lot of times, like, my pastor would never be one to say, hey, you're going to address me as pastor. He would never do that. But me, as an armor bearer and a fellow minister there, if someone was to do that, I would take them to the side and say, hey, to have respect for the office and show them what that's about, there's a reason why you would address him as Pastor Reuben, you know? So I think that to one sense of what you're saying is correct, but on the other side, in order to help people to learn how to respect the ministry and respect pastors and respect men of God and respect God, that it's up to us around our leaders to, you know, correct that type of stuff. And
see, I totally believe that is taught through tradition, and yeah, that's not scriptural.
Well, and I can hear you on that, but on the other side of it, it's how do I say this? If this is a good example, because I was talking with a buddy of mine and he gave me a good example. If someone's in for surgery and they save someone that you love dearly, they save their life, okay? And you go in and the doctor's in there and they have helped your family and they've helped this person, you're not going to go in there and say, hey, thanks, man, you know, good job, and you call that doctor by their first name. No, you're going to have respect for the years.
Can I tell you why that's totally different and it doesn't apply?
Well, in a second, but there would be years of study and help and making mistakes and practice and development and all of that stuff that's led up to that moment where they're able to help restore this person's life that is completely disregarded. Now, on the other hand, if it's a new believer, let me just explain this real quick. If it's a new believer that doesn't know anything about God and they're addressing the pastor and, you know, you let that go. On the other side of it, there are people who have been in ministry for years and they just feel like there's no need to respect anybody that's in ministry or anybody that's in position. And they want to call people by their first name to prove that I don't know what. I feel like maybe that person might need deliverance as well. But I mean, I'm open to hear what you have to say as well, though.
Yeah, I would totally disagree. When you talk about a hospital office, that's not the body of Christ. And you're talking about a stranger that you don't know.
Okay.
When you talk to the doc, he's in the system of the world, you have something called degrees. And you get these degrees so that you can work in certain places. And for that doctor to be there qualified to do the work that he does on your body, he has to get that PhD.
Of course.
And that PhD makes him a doctor, so he's qualified to work on your body. Now, because you don't know this doctor, when you walk in and the way the world system is set up, that's what they call him, Dr. Joe. But Christ did not set up his system like the world system. Nowhere in the scripture will you see it written that you must call a pastor for respect.
Oh no.
You mentioned something earlier. You said that when they call him by his first name, like they're trying to prove a point, or they're trying to not honor him by calling his first name. And that's what I'm saying is the is the not, I'm not saying people are wrong, but I'm saying there's a more excellent way.
That's true.
And if you know someone, if you know someone and you know them and you love them, I don't care who they are. Like, but if I start growing in fellowship with you, knowing that you're a pastor in my church, and I start growing to love you and to fellowship with you, and we're being discipled together and we're being groomed in God together,
yeah,
I'm not going to keep calling you Pastor Chris. That's like working at a warehouse with a manager. Who walks up to their manager and says, hey, Manager Monica or Manager Joe? You just call them Joe. You respect what they do. When you need help, you go to the manager.
Right.
And when you go to him, you don't say, Manager Jason, I need your help. No, yeah, you just go to him because you know he has the wisdom to help you out in what you need.
That's true.
And that's the same way that it should be in the body of Christ. I'm not saying that people are wrong, but my post addressed the mindset of a pastor who would get offended
right.
if somebody would call them pastor.
Oh, no. Yeah, I completely understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that makes sense. What I would say is if we're co-laborers and we're being developed together and we're growing together, and, you know, like I have brothers that I was in the men's home with when I came off the streets that are pastors now. You know, and when we're hanging out together, you know, it's a, you know, Jay or what, you know, we have, but if I'm around them in front of their people, I give them that respect because I've watched them earn it, you know, and that's just how I was discipled and developed. I understand what you're saying. There are people out there that get weird if you don't call them pastor so-and-so and this and that. And I understand what
and
you're saying.
And those, exactly. And those are the people that the post is focused on to.
Yes.
Those are the people who I'm talking about.
But on the other side.
Yeah, because obviously I don't see anything wrong with calling someone pastor or bishop, whatever they want to call themselves. But my problem comes in is when they're not called that and they get offended or they get upset or they start trying to correct you, that's out of
yeah.
line.
Yeah.
That's because there's nowhere in the scripture that says that someone has to do that. And it has nothing to do with honor or respect. That's just man's tradition. We've adopted that thinking over time. And because we've adopted it, we think that that's just the law. But it's not. That's not God's law. That's our man-made tradition.
Right. Hey, that's, you know what? That's why I appreciate this conversation. I'm telling you, I knew this is going to be good. All right. I'm enjoying this. So it's not, you know, there. I appreciate the disagreement on that. So, and the, gotcha. You know, it's a healthy way to have these discussions. People want to get offended and this and that. I love it. I think it's great. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Right.
Now the next one, I'm going to need, I mean, we can just say that I agree with what you're saying on this and it, you know, it's not too, you're, you know, I agree with what you're saying on the last one about the pastor and the titles and this and that. I can see why you'd post that. And I can say, I agree, you know, with what you mean by that. This next one, I don't know. I'm going to take some convincing on this, my brother. It says, many of you are tithing into the lives of people who live in abundance while God wants you to give to those in need. Can you explain what you meant by that?
Absolutely. And I'll start off with asking you a question like I did earlier. The church you're at, obviously you said you're not the senior pastor, so, but are you on staff or do you get paid by that church?
No, I work full time, bro.
Okay. So you're not paid by that church?
No.
Okay. Good for you. Now, I don't see anything wrong with a pastor or a brother or whatever they call themselves, apostle, bishop, evangelist, minister, anything, deacon. I don't have a problem with people being blessed by the church. That's not what the post is about. The post is about the actual meaning of tithe. And there's a video that my brother posted online, which he goes into much more detail than I go into and much more detail than I can go into. He's very well versed on this subject. But I agree with him wholeheartedly because I understand the principle in God's heart behind this. The tithing in the Old Testament, when you boil it down, you can study it all kinds of ways and you can manipulate it to mean what you want it to mean. But without trying to preach it, just understanding what it means, the tithe, it was more than 10%. I think it was around 30-something percent. And it was all laid aside. 10% was for the Levites. 10% was for the what is it called, the tabernacle, and then 10% was for the needy. So anyway, and I could be wrong there, but you can go look this up. It's around 30-something. The reason that they put money aside, or not money aside, but their things aside, the tenth off of everything that they had, was so for that the people that had need, their needs could be met. And also so that the Levites, who didn't have an inheritance, the Bible says they didn't have an inheritance because they weren't able to go and build their own house and have their own land. The Levites were for the house of God, right? Now, that priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, no longer exists like it did in the Old Testament. No longer. So the 10% that was going to the Levites was going to them because that's their only form of income, because God ordained it in the law. But that Levitical priesthood came to an end when Christ came. It talks about it in Hebrews. Okay, so that there's no meaning, the lineage of Aaron that takes care of the house of God, that lineage is gone. The house of God, when Christ ripped the veil, became our body. We're the temple, we're the tabernacle now. Okay, and there's no high priest in us that we should tithe to. That high priest in us is Jesus Christ. That's the high priest that we should be tithing our lives to. Right? The New Testament principle of giving is give everything away. Be led by God and give everything away. That's the New Testament principle, right? But the Old Testament principle was tithe, this 10% here, this 10% here, this 10% here, give to the Levites because they don't have an inheritance. I don't allow them to. And then the rest of it goes to people that have need. So when people use the word tithing in the New Testament church, and I've been in a lot of churches, Brother Chris, more than I can even count. I've been in I grew up in church, right? And so the tithe in churches, whether it be, and I haven't been in every denomination. I've predominantly been in Pentecostal, Baptist, Methodist, Church of God in Christ, Southern Baptist. There's some other ones too, some Lutheran churches, just different churches, right? Yeah. They talk about tithe. The tithe is collected primarily, and this is mostly for smaller churches and some bigger churches as well, but the tithe is collected to pay the church bills and to pay the pastor or the leaders that are there. And that is not the intent for the tithe. Tithe was actually given in the Old Testament to give to those in need. Even in the New Testament, Jesus reminds us to always be ready to give to those in need. Paul in the New Testament, he talked multiple times about being ready to distribute to those in need. He actually encourages the rich that they should be ready to distribute to those in need. He doesn't say be ready to distribute to the pastor, to the elder that I leave in charge. He doesn't say that. Not saying you can't bless them. I'm not against blessing people of God. I'm okay with ministers and deacons and whoever being blessed by people of God. But when I stand up in church and take the tithe and say this is what it's for, to pay these church bills and to pay me, that's error. Because God wants us to take care of those in need. We got so many people around us that are needy, that have needs. Now, for you, the church that you're a part of, I think it's awesome. You said that you were, I don't know if you said you were homeless or you were something.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was a drug addict.
I was homeless since I was 15 years old. I was 18, awesome. Lost my mind, strung out. They took me off the streets. My pastor pulled me out of the gutter, man.
That's good. And see, for me to hear you say that, that's good. There are churches that are doing the right thing, mm-hmm. but there are buku churches, my brother, that are not.
Okay.
There are buku churches where the pastor is living in abundance, driving a Mercedes Benz to the church. Everybody else is driving a bucket, and the community around them is dirty and nasty and slummy, and they're not doing anything about it.
Okay.
I don't want to expose people that you won't know these people, but if these people heard me talk, they know who I'm talking about. I know pastors, man, that do this. They don't care about the community. The tithe money goes to them. Matter of fact, the church bills actually are a little bit behind because they want to make sure they make their money every week.
Wow.
This is stuff I see. Now, this is not talking about every church though.
No,
because the way you describe, see people with this road rage out here, bro.
I heard that.
See, like, hey, listen, that That needs to be my post Monday. People with road rage need delivered.
Right. There you go. I agree.
Right. But my thing is, so for your church, the way you describe it, it seems to me that they're using money to actually help those in need, which I applaud that. And I want every church to do that. But unfortunately, every church is not. Right. And so that's why I posted that post, so to raise awareness, to make sure that the people that read it say, okay, where is my tithe going? Because I guarantee you, Chris, everybody that's paying tithes to a church, their money's not going to help those in need. Like, a lot of money is going in your church.
Right.
A lot of people's tithe is going to make sure that the pastor's pocket stays fat. And that's it. And that's not God's will.
I understand.
So that's what that post.
But let me just say this. And I'm saying this just because, first of all, I agree with what you're saying. I don't disagree with it. But on the other side of it, does that take away from the power of that seed? I mean, Jesus commended the woman with the widow's mite, right? He commended her himself. And he said, she's giving more than anyone here. Why would he do that if giving, you know, she was giving to pretty much, if you want to look at it, the widow's mite, she was giving to the wrong thing. She was right there just giving. You know, if you wanted to look at what she was doing, she was giving to the wrong thing.
What was she giving to?
Whatever the old was. And Jesus commended her for doing it. The old way of doing it, the thing you broke down and she was giving in the temple. And but what I'm saying is there's people out there that are giving to the Lord, not to people. And you can't discourage them from doing that. Because there's a blessing for them as long as they're the problem I have with the post is the way it reads. Many of you are tithing into the lives of people. I don't tithe into the lives of people, my brother. But
many people do.
What I do is give to the Lord. I tithe. I'm a faithful giver in my church. I give. My wife gives. But I don't, I give it to the Lord. If I was caught up in where's this money, what's going on with it, that's not me giving to the Lord. That's me giving to people. And I think that's where the problem I'm having with this post is if you're tithing into the lives of people, then that's where your seed stops. But if I'm giving to the Lord, see, because I'll tithe, but then I'll still help others in need because I want my house to be blessed. You know, in the New Testament, they gave everything they had to the church and they all lived house to house. And the people who held back died. You know what I'm saying? And that was in the New Testament. Ananias and Sapphira died. I don't know if that makes any sense what I'm saying, but
well, let me tell you this though, because where you're coming from to me has nothing to do with my post. You okay. This is what you mentioned. I had to write it down because you were talking fast. I have to address every point as you go because you said a lot of things there. You said that you give unto the Lord.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. And I didn't say anything about people that were giving unto the Lord.
Right.
I said many of you given unto people who have abundance. So this post
many
is not,
of you.
Attacking you or talking about you.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. All right.
Because like I said earlier, I know people who, bro, I'm just going to tell you this quick story without name. I know someone who took $5,000 and sowed it into the life. This was their word to me. Hey, I took this money, man. God led me. You know, I'm sowing to the life of this preacher. Why'd you do that, man? This preacher said that, you know, that if I sow into their life, I'll be blessed, man. Okay, well, where's his church at? Oh, he's this church. So we go to the church and see his church. This brother is balling. Everybody in his church is struggling financially. Even the person that gave their savings to this guy.
Wow.
This dude is a hireling, bro. They're not doing any outreach in the community. He meets with them every Sunday and Wednesday to preach to them and take an offering. And he calls it a tithe. And he says, sow it into the man of God's life. He says, when you sow into the anointed man of God, you'll be blessed. But none of them are blessed. And they do believe they're sowing into the right thing. But, brother, they're not. And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the situations where the shoe fits.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah, because you're not the only one reading Facebook, brother. You may have it figured out in that area, but everybody does it. And right. And I'll tell you this too. When we know better, we should do better.
Yeah.
That when you spoke about the woman giving the mic the old way, I mean, that was the way. That was the godly way in that time.
Right.
That was the way. So, it's an old way to us. But during that time, she was given the most righteous way. And she was commended because she didn't have nothing. And she was given everything. She gave little, but that was everything.
Yeah.
She wasn't praised because she wasn't praised because she gave to the man of God or to the. She was praised because she didn't have nothing and she gave what she didn't have. She gave everything, even though she didn't have anything. Mm. And so for me, this post doesn't apply to you. When you tell me that you give to the Lord, brother, I want everybody to give to the Lord. When you say that you give and you believe that you're going to be blessed by it, I believe it too, according to your faith, brother.
Yeah.
But your church is your church, according to you. I don't know your church and what y'all doing, but according to you, man, y'all doing things in the community. Y'all helping people in need.
Right.
That's where our money is supposed to go to. Giving to the Lord is one thing, but giving it to what he wants us to give to is even more of a blessing.
Right. Right.
I wouldn't mind giving to your church if your church is doing outreach and doing that in the community. That's what God wants. He wants our money going towards things that need us, that have need.
Right.
So that's the purpose of the post, is to raise awareness. When a believer reads that, I want them to check themselves and say, look, man, where is my money going?
Yeah.
Because if they're given to a church, and even saying they're given to the Lord, but that church is not impacting the community and their pastor's pocket's getting fat, I'm sorry, brother, they're not giving to the Lord.
Yeah.
Because if you're giving to the Lord, the money is going to be used to do what the Lord wants it to do. It's not going to be just used to make somebody fat and rich.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's... Yeah, that's I can't disagree with that. And it does say many of you. So that's true. All right. So it doesn't just it's just some folks. So I can say that I stand corrected on that.
But to be honest, Chris,
yeah.
I'm encouraged hearing the way your church functions, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, it's yeah.
I'm encouraged. And you're blessed, man, because every church don't function like that.
Right.
You know, the average. How many people go to your church? Just the number. How many people are there?
Our church, it's a smaller church. It's not like a really large church, but we have a big vision because my pastor, he plants churches. So he's planted.
Right. Okay. So all the church he's planted, give me the group of people all together.
Well,
right, give me an estimate number.
He's planted thousands of churches. Right now, we probably have.
Oh,
yeah. Right now, we probably have.
See, I would call that brother an apostle.
Yeah, absolutely.
All his work that he's doing.
No, absolutely.
Right, okay.
Yeah, he's my spiritual father. He's the one who's discipled me and you know, worked with me since 97. I've been a part of this ministry. So. Like I said, they took me off the streets when I was 18. I'm 40 now, so good Lord, that's a long time. Okay, so
yeah, that's a blessing.
Yeah, but I would say because we're gonna be having I would say there's probably 150 churches, and that's a low estimate.
Okay.
I don't want to give you like a high estimate and you know like an evangelist.
No,
I would say
you're
150
good.
Is a conservative amount that we have.
Okay, good. And that's what I was going to say. The average number of people in a church in America is 50 people. That's the average.
Oh, yeah. I was saying 150 churches.
Right. And I'm telling you, the average church has about 50 people.
Okay, there you go.
So the average church is not doing what your church is doing.
Right. Right.
They're just not.
Yeah.
And so that's what the post is for. To raise awareness, I want people to read the post. I want the person to read the post that's pouring money into a guy that's getting rich or a lady that's getting rich and look and say, look, what are we actually doing in the community? There are poor people around us. There's people that have need. There are drug addicts. There are dope fiends. There are drug dealers. There are sick. There are handicapped people around us. And all this money I'm giving is not going to help them. I want them to read that post and say, you know what? God does want us to give to those in need and start praying about it and asking questions about it. Go to their leaders. Say, hey, look, why aren't we helping our community? Why aren't we? And hopefully it'll change their ministry. If not change the ministry, change them to where they can start giving into an actual ministry that does help those in need.
Mm.
Because that's the heart of the Father, man.
Right.
He doesn't want us to forget the fatherless and the widow. He doesn't want us to. How many times in the scripture does he remind us that he wants us to take care of the widow and the fatherless and those in need and the poor?
True. That's the truth.
I mean, it's because that's the heart of God. And that's my point of the post. I want people to just kind of look at where their money's going.
Yeah.
And kind of do a self-check. Look, is my money going to help those in need? And if I'm in a church that I'm giving money and it's not, I need to look at this stuff again. I need to move, go to another church, or find a or change, make change for it in my local congregation.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, I hear you. That makes sense to me. That makes sense to me. All right.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks for addressing these things. And, you know, I feel like we came to equal footing there on the, I can see where you're coming from on this, and it definitely makes sense. So, will, if many of you, if your post starts with many of you from now on, I will, consider that before I read anything else. So that was good. All right. So I'm going to lighten it up a little bit. Okay. So I'm just going to ask a few, kind of funny questions. What is your favorite word?
My favorite word?
Yeah. Curveball.
Oh man. Yeah, I know. I don't want to be deep. You know?
Go ahead.
But I don't want to be, because that's kind of lame if I'm really deep. And my daughter, let me just tell you this, my daughter asks me questions like this all the time, like, what's your favorite color? What's your favorite food? And my answer is always the same to her. I always tell her, Daddy doesn't have a favorite color. Daddy doesn't have a favorite food. Daddy doesn't have a favorite, you know? But the thing, if I could say my favorite word, wow. I guess I would have to say, bro, honestly, Anson, I don't have one, I guess.
Yeah.
But I would have to say that, I would have to say my wife's name. That's my favorite word.
Oh, there you go.
Her name could be a word.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And
Teresa. That's my favorite word.
Teresa. Hey, there you go. That's that would be
my favorite word.
Mine is Rosa. So there you go. That's my favorite word too.
Right.
That was smooth, bro. That was smooth. Okay. So here's another question. What are you not very good at?
Ooh, wee. I'm not very good at a lot of stuff.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. I'm not very good at like handiwork, like carpentry.
Me neither,
like,
man.
Like building things. Like and it sucks. It sucks because,
right,
you know, sometimes I want to be that guy, like when my wife is just like, the such and such is broke. I want to be like, I'll fix it. But
exactly.
I'm the kind of guy that's like, dang it.
Yep.
I'll look at it. If it's nothing simple, I'm calling somebody. You know?
Same here,
and
man.
So, I'm not good at carpentry and like woodwork and handyman stuff. Like I'm really good at like electronics. Like for a living, I fix computers and TVs and cell phones and things like that.
Oh,
but
nice.
I'm not good at like woodwork and building houses and shelves and stuff like that.
Nice. Okay. So you, for a living, you fix laptops and TVs and stuff like that. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. I actually own my own business. I mean, I've been having my own business, doing it since 2012.
Nice. Nice.
2011. Yeah.
Right on. All right.
Yes, sir.
And here's another funny question. Last one. If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
Ooh, wee. If I could have one superpower, what would it be?
Yeah.
Man, hold up. Wow, that's a good question. If I could have one superpower, it would probably be, I know this would be cheating because this would change my whole, I wouldn't even be doing this right now. I'd be in the NBA. I would probably do like some kind of telekinesis thing, like where I could control things with my mind.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah, that would be the superpower, man. And I'd probably be a starting point guard in the NBA right now.
There you go, man. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well,
yeah.
That's a good answer. I would want to fly, but telekinesis, you could probably make yourself fly as well. So that's
correct. You can lift yourself off the ground. Correct.
Yep. All right. Well, it's been a blessing talking with you, Palas, and I really appreciate you taking the time. I know it's Saturday's usually family day, but it's been a really awesome conversation, and definitely appreciate you taking the time. Maybe I know you've already said a lot, but there's probably some new believers, some youngsters that are going to be listening to this, or you know, someone out there that maybe they're discouraged, or you know, something that's going, and maybe this has encouraged them. Or I just want to give you an opportunity just to speak from your heart and just minister to someone who might be listening to this, and close it with a prayer if you feel led to. Close it with the prayer, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, brother.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I will say this. Man, there's so much to say. You said there are young believers listening. If you're a young believer and you are listening, if you're a young believer, that means that you already have a body or a community of people that you sit with weekly and that mentor you and that you can talk to and you can ask some questions. I want to tell y'all this. Don't neglect that. Don't run away from that. Take advantage of that as much as y'all can. Like, really, because there's one thing to spend time with God in His presence, but we neglect the fact that we also spend time in His presence when we're around other believers. And there's a lot of confirmation, affirmation, and just answered questions that you can get among believers. Not everything comes in the prayer closet. So there's a lot of things that God will reveal to you as you fellowship one with another. Mm. The scripture says that you will know you are my disciple if you love one another. And that word there means more than just like. It's a word of fellowship and communion. So embrace fellowship, embrace communion with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't run from that. And that's one thing I want to leave, I guess, for the new believers, man. Just enjoy that time with your brothers and sisters, and don't be scared to be transparent and enjoy that time. And yeah, we can go ahead and pray out, bro.
Yep.
Father in heaven, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for Brother Chris just putting this call on his heart, Father, just to reach out. I've really enjoyed this conversation as well. Lord God, I ask that you will continue to bless his podcast, his ministry. Father, I thank you for the awesome testimony that he gave even without giving. Maybe he knew he was giving it, God, but I thank you for his testimony of his church, his ministry, Father, what they're doing in the community. Lord, I can ask that you would bless the leaders there, that apostle there that's planting those churches, Father. Continue to be with him.
Yes.
Keep scandal far away from him. Preserve him, Father. Give him more strength and more wisdom to carry out your works in this earth, God. Father, please, 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 please continue to preserve Brother Chris and what he's doing, God. Bless his hands. Bless his family. Whatever he does, God, allow him to consult you about it before he makes a move. Let him pray about all things and live holy and trust you. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen.
Amen. All right, man. Appreciate you, bro. Thanks. And same.
Amen.
God bless
you
and your family, man. Hope you guys have an awesome Christmas, and God bless, man.
Man, same to you. God bless you, Brother Chris.
All right. All right. Well, I had an awesome time with Palas, man. What a great blessing that was. That awesome conversation. Hope you guys enjoyed it, and make sure you share this, get this out there. There's a lot of this conversation. I mean, it's a lot to unpack, but I'm sure there's someone out there that this could encourage, this someone out there that it could bless. And make sure you share this. And before I let you go, I do want to say that, you know, I hope you and your family have an awesome Christmas. I know we have one more podcast before Christmas. The next one's going to be kind of a Christmas episode. We're going to do something fun, something different, actually. But I hope that this blessed you today. I want to say, if you're out there and you're struggling, if you're hurting, if things are going, you know, wrong in your life right now, just be encouraged and move forward. God bless you guys.